Father, thank you that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together, you are with us. Your Spirit is with us. And Lord, we just open our heart to your word, to your truth, Lord, that we may hear it, Lord, we may receive it, and we may, Lord, see it manifested in our life. We praise you and thank you for, Lord, your love, your power, your anointing, and your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to be seeing what the Lord wants to do. The topic is really addressing or receiving or appropriating our blessings. And we have a part we play. You know, God has done everything, and sometimes we wait for him to do something when instead he's waiting for us to just position ourselves to receive. And that what makes a difference. That what, get things moving. And it's not, works and that we had to do is exercising our faith and aligning ourselves in our thinking and our position with God's position and thinking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. You know, everything that God does is perfect. There is, nothing that can be done better than he does. And when we come to realize the way he works, and we line up ourselves with him, then things start to be easier. Easy. You know, our transformation is not by the way the world does things. It's not the way, it says, no pain, no gain. It's not God's way. God's way is a effortless transformation because it's not us that are doing it. He is doing it inside us. We have to understand that because otherwise we are laboring all the time trying to do things that are actually not going to help us. See, he has done everything. And we have to understand the way he functions, the way he works. His ways, not our ways, not the man's way of thinking. In this world, we have to do things to do anything. With him, we have to believe. That's what makes a difference. You know, at the beginning, this is a lot of stuff I want to share today. I had to try to reduce it because otherwise I'm not going to even get to half of it. Okay. At the beginning, the way he made everything was wonderful. See, in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. See, God, after creation, look how everything he has done, and everything was very good. Not just good, very good. Before we messed it up. Okay. But it was very good. If I would just share with you, and I can't do it, what the Lord gave me or showed me when he saved me. He brought me in the Garden of Eden. And I was there. I know the way it feels. I know the way it looks. I know the way it feels. It was beautiful. It was bright. It was full of life. Everything. I can't express it. I can just try to, but there's no way I can show it to you. You know, I was an atheist, didn't believe anything. And he brought me there. And I saw love, life, power, just in everything. That it changed everything I believed. It downloaded in me in few seconds things that I never expected to believe. Not only that, but all the stuff that I believed in, that I studied, that I worked on, I realized was garbage. And changed completely everything. You know, to do what I did after that is crazy. Because after my 30 years of work, 30 years of study, 30 years of doing things, you know, and doing well, I just quit my job. That was insane from the world point of view. And some people even told me. But one of the things that I realized in that moment in which I had that vision is that what is here is nothing. God performs miracles. And we had to expect the supernatural taking place when we are walking with him, when we are in his presence, when we are connecting with him. And if we don't experience that, then we are missing the connection. We are plugged into the wrong thing. And so this is, I mean, so important to understand. The way Adam was at the beginning, he didn't need to work to fix the garden. The word there says, you know, God planted the garden and then says, you know, to him to do it, to work after it. But he didn't need to do it physically. He needed to do it the same way as God planted it. It was just supernatural. It was just the authority that he had received from God to operate in the spiritual dimension through his spirit, through his eternal life that he had inside at that time. And to manifest God's authority, wasn't his, it was delegated to him in doing the things he was doing. And he was in communion with God. And they were walking together in the garden. And, you know, they wasn't just walking to get, you know, to take a little walk. They were walking because there was communication going on. He was being trained the way he does that with us today. Okay. And if we are born again believers, especially if we are spirit-filled, we should have that communion with God, that relationship in which he talks to us. And he shows us things and his way of doing things. If we don't, then we have to see where we miss it. And when Adam fell, okay, he should have known better. He should have known, okay, to believe God rather than believe his senses. That was the beginning of what happened, the world happened today, the way it works today. This is why things are not working properly, because they are going according to the mentality of people and the fallen state in which they are, instead of going according to the way God planned it and wants it to see. When he made that decision, and Eve too, to go according to what they saw, to walk according to what they felt, what they thought, to go according to what they judged themselves, depending on what they thought and what they saw, it looked good. You know, it good to eat, looked good to the eyes, and look, you know, good to produce in them wisdom. They had wisdom already. What's the matter with them? Okay, we always sometimes tend to see the things that we don't really understand, perceive, and want, and so we are in a position of missing, lacking, and not having. When instead, they had everything. They had it made. But they chose to go independently, according to their idea. And that was the beginning of the end. You know, we cannot, we have to understand, even for us believers, we cannot go according to our own ideas. Jesus knew, understood, and taught how we had to operate, the way he operated. You know, he was doing only what he saw the Father doing, and we didn't do in himself, he could do nothing. In his own thinking, in his own, you know, he didn't depend on his senses. He depended on what God was communicating with him, at what he knew, at what the Word was saying. Hallelujah. See, when we operate that way, we separate ourselves from God. We lose the connection. And when we, you know, we can be, doesn't matter if the thought and the ideas are, you know, sound religiously good and everything else, but they are just religiously, they are not alive. The Word of God is not religious. The Word of God is alive and powerful when it's working inside you. So that's the way you have to connect with. He's alive. That means he's going to address and direct and instruct concerning specific things inside you that you have to do, that you have to address. Are you following me, what I'm saying? Unless we learn to depend on him instead of depending on our senses, we are doing things on our own. If we depend on others, what we read, what we seen, what they think. No, God is a living God wanting a living relationship with us. And unless we connect with him in a living way, we are going to miss it and we are going to do things separately from him. That means we are going to be cutting off that connection that he wants to have with us. He cares about having a connection with us more than we want to and seek for him. And it is demonstrated very clearly when he, after Adam and Eve sinned, he went looking for them. He didn't need to look for them, you know, but that's what the Bible says. And there was a reason why he went looking for them. You know, almost like showing that he didn't know. Hello? Can you be, you know, get smart, I would have said, you know, to Anna. He said, you know, where are you? And so, you know, at least he had taken the step and said, well, you know, I realized I was naked and I hid myself. You see, that's what happens. As soon as you start looking at your senses and looking at the way the world is and you let those control and guide you, that's what's going to happen. You are going to separate. You're not being connected anymore because they take over. God wants to operate in your spirit and guide you through your spirit so that you are directed all the time because you are connected. And you don't do anything unless you connect with him. And that's what Adam should have done. Eve too, when they were tempted. They should go to him and says, what's going on here? They have been given clear instructions before. But they didn't do it. They went for what? The way they saw, the way they felt, the way they thought. That's the way to get in trouble. You had to ask direction. You had to be open for direction. And that's where, why they fell. Because sometimes the way we think, the way we see the physical things are never, you know, going to give us the proper information. That gives fake information, not truth. The truth you're going to get is only in the Word. The Word is what sets you free. The Word is what guides you. The Word does everything. You know, but it's interesting that when God, the way God responded to Adam, I says, you know, so you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit? I mean, ask the question. That was a rhetorical question. Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat from? Okay. Why did God ever ask that question? Have you thought about that? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever because he knows everything. Well, there was a reason. He wanted to see the way Adam responded. He wanted to see the way it was going to connect, because if he would have responded differently, maybe things are going to may have been gone completely differently. Okay. But Adam continued the deception thing. He before had put fig trees that don't move anything, the only thing they prickle. Okay. But you know, that wasn't God's way. And so he had to move in and take action and do things. And so he pronounced the blessing and the curses. Okay. But first of all, he dealt with the serpent, in which he gave the first prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. We're going to resolve the whole issues. There was development that day. Okay. But then, you know, he talked about the impact and the consequences it was going to have on Eve and Adam. Okay. And things changed completely at that moment because they didn't depend on God when they made those decisions. Now they had to depend on themselves to do things. Okay. So, you know, it was clear, okay, that the way they responded was completely the wrong way. First, Eve says, well, you know, the serpent made me do it, essentially. The devil made me do it. No, she decided that. We decide things because of our need, because of our lusts, because of our desires. We make decisions. And the decision we had to make, we make, should be based on what? The proper judgment, the proper direction. That makes all the difference. And that was based on the wrong thing, so came up the wrong judgment. Okay. And Adam, too, was even worse than Eve. What did Adam say? Okay. Let me see. Let me take it. I want to just read, you know, the words exactly. Okay. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Okay, so that was a pretty rhetorical question. Then the man said, the woman who you gave me to be with, okay, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. Okay, I mean, he didn't imply only that the woman was the problem. You gave it to me. See, that, you see, but that pattern is the pattern that we use all the time, even if we may not recognize it. See, it's never, we always find or want to find an excuse to blame somebody else. Our parents, our situation, the world, the devil made me do it, forget it. We have to take responsibility of our decisions. And when we do that, things start changing. See, I feel that God was expecting there a sign of repentance. There was no sign of repentance whatsoever. Okay. That's what we have to understand. You know, when we take responsibility for our own action, then things go differently. Now, you know, God prophesies about sending, you know, Jesus or the Messiah for us to resolve the situation. And we are not going to look at everything because happened in that period of time. We're going to go to one of the milestones that happened later on. It was when, you know, God spoke to Moses. So God spoke to Moses and gave him the law. Up to that time, there was no law really around. The only thing that people got was what they were getting directly, themselves. And a few people, you know, were doing all right. But the world in general was a mess, you know, to the point that, you know, once God had to wipe up everybody because it was so corrupted, except for the family of Noah. Okay, the point is, you know, to make things easier so that we could understand his ways, he revealed the law to Moses. And in the laws, essentially, there were all the points that they had to make, the things that they had to be careful about, so that would be helping them to make the right decisions. The same way as at the beginning when he said, don't eat of the tree. But, you know, if you didn't work with one thing, is it, you're going to think it's going to work with lots of things there? If you cannot make the right decision when you have only one problem, you know, about implementing what God wants to do, are you going to have a long list of things you have to check out to make sure that you do? Well, the point is, that was a teaching lesson. God was doing that not because that was fixing anything, but because that would teach us that we can make it that way. We cannot overcome by checking out everything in the physical to make sure that we are in the right place, we are in the right things. You know, it's the walk we have is a spiritual walk, not a physical walk. Everything happened at the spiritual level first. Then there can be a manifestation. But see, all the consequences of that, after he gave all these things and this teaching, and it didn't work anyway, you know, as they were going through the desert, you know, and most of them missed it anyway. Okay, a few made it, very few. But it was difficult, and it was just the exception. Not the rule. That's not what God wants. God wants everyone to connect with him. But the result of that, okay, that at the end of making the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, that gives you, you know, says, if you follow everything that I'm telling you, and now there was lots of stuff there. Okay. Says, you know, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Okay. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord, your God. Okay. Well, that may have been a bit more specific because it was written on pieces of parchment or whatever, you know. But the point is, it didn't work. But the blessing, you know, is good to see that the way God wanted to, what God wants really for them, because reading those blessings, okay, are going to be, you know, the indication of what God wants us to have. And I'm not going to read them all because there are quite a few verses. It goes from Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 14. So, you know, but really, you know, again said, if you, or, you know, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So you see, he wasn't expecting that they just read the things and were, no, they had to have still a connection with him. See, because you obey the voice. God speaking to you through those instructions. Are you following me? That makes the difference between the people that are going, where, you know, were able to more or less manage in the Old Testament than with the one that they couldn't. Because the one they could is because they have a relationship with him so that they were listening to his voice. I think that's pretty interesting to notice because nothing has changed. It was the same from the very beginning and is the same today. And unfortunately, there are lots of believers that call themselves believers that actually don't work that way yet, but they work according to the law. And they wonder why things don't work and things don't, that there is not any supernatural reality in their life. Are you following me? This is important to understand because if you want to break through that barrier between the physical and the spiritual, the only way that we can do it legally is by connecting with the Lord. And having a relationship, a living relationship with him. See, that's what changed my perspective about life in general with that experience and the vision of the Garden of Eden. Was the fact that basic things, miracles, is the way God works. The supernatural is the dimension in which we have to operate. And that's what Jesus said. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the key of all the power, the relationship, the experiences that we have when we connect with him. And there is no other way. And this is said, you know, in John 4, 20 to 24, you know, this is what God seeks. That's what he wants. So hearing the voice is what releases the blessings. Okay. And there, you know, blesses you are in the city, blesses you are in the country, blesses is the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your earth, the increase of your cattle, and the offsprings of your flocks. Blesses are your basket and your kneading bowl. Blesses shall you when you come in and when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you in one way, and they will flee before you in seven ways. And I'm not going to continue on that. You want, you can read them. You know, sometimes it's good to go and read, because this is the expectations that we should have as we have a relationship with the Father and with Jesus. Not many do have that kind of an expectation, including believers. because they've been programmed by religion and by the world. So they don't trust their relationship with the Word and with the Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit to listen and to actually operate and function according to that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and then, you know, in this, the instruction that I was reading before, it talks about the curses. The curses for disobedience. Well, in that case, the list is not just, you know, 1 to 16, 14 verses. This is 15 for 58 verses. I mean, there are things, there is a list that just anything that you can think of and more than that. Okay, it says, you know, but if you shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Curses have been the city, and goes on some of the one they said before about the blessings and the opposite, but then, you know, add a lot of other ones. This is not what God wants, because God wants a relationship with us. He wants to bless us. Okay. Now, not many people in the Old Testament were able to operate at that level. And so he had to introduce lots of things, but mostly, you know, mostly fail. And even the ones that successful weren't really so successful as they could have been if they were really had a relationship with him. Okay. But when we come and Jesus came, he came to turn the situation completely around. He came to give us the possibility to do it and to do it without effort, without work, without sweating, without the things that are, you know, were part of the curse when the man was decayed. He was trying to get us back into the garden. And we aren't there yet, but we are getting close. Or at least, you know, it's evident that we are getting close and there's not going to be much time left. We better keep moving because we need to understand that he's coming soon. Okay. But when Jesus came, he didn't just come to so that we can be blessed. But he came so that all the curses could be turned around. Can you imagine the way he, the love that he has? Because, you know, the result of the curse is that we have not been listening. But he wants to, even if we have not been listening, he wants to connect anyway. Because he wants to connect everybody. With everybody. You know, John 3:16. That everybody could be saved. So, even the most messed up people, he would like them to do it. You know, sometimes the most messed up people are the ones that really realize what they're getting and they really understand. Some people that have been doing not too bad, they just don't care enough. Are you still with me? Okay, so Jesus could come and, you know, and came to give us a completely new experience in the way we walk so that we can start walking not by our senses, but start walking by faith, by the way our heart that is connected with God directs us. Hallelujah. You know, to see God desire, just one verse is enough to do is 3 John 2. Okay. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be healthy or be in health just as your soul prospers. So we had to get our soul prospering to get everything else in line with that. It may take time to fix everything, because there are so many things in which we had to make our soul prosper. But as we listen, as we open ourselves up to him, then he's going to guide us and enable us to know what is going on, to know what we have to do, to know what we have to change. You know, and there are so many things that we don't have a clue about because we don't know everything. We know very little, actually, no matter how much we think we know. That's why he found the solution for that too, and he gave us the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit is the new thing, okay, beside the, you know, something we cover in the Old Testament, but, you know, the thing is there were healings and other things, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. He made sure that he, you know, his own presence would be with us. If we are fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we are in union with him. Now this, okay, is the present time truth that God wants to put into the church. The unity between us and God, the union, the things that Jesus prayed in John 17 for concerning his disciples, not concerning the people that call themselves Christians. Because they cannot have that union because they're not trained. Are the ones that are trained by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, and by the way God organized real church, not the one made up by men, that are trained to be able to follow the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to obey the Holy Spirit. And so they're going to experience that unity that is coming just by from unity and fellowship. I preached about John chapter 17 quite a bit already, and, you know, so I'm just connecting to there. And, you know, that is a basic truth that we had to assimilate and we had to become part of us. Okay. God has provided everything that we need. Praise the Lord. God has provided everything that we need to do to be able to be connected with him. Okay. First of all, provided the information. Saint Jesus, as our example, the life that he had is an example for our life. The work that he did was dealing with us, with our problem. Now, you know, what he went through for us, not for himself. Okay. Our part is really to have believe, that means to have faith in what he has done. Believe what he has done, okay, and follow the direction that he has demonstrated, they showed to us, what he taught us, okay, and what happened, you know, and realize the importance of the victory that he had. He had complete victory. He came back alive, so he broke everything that had to do with the initial curse. Hello? Okay, you shall die? Well, evidently, the curse wasn't functioning, wasn't working for him. Okay. He broke the curse of the law. He broke everything that was the result of what Adam did. The sins are forgiven, the dead is dealt, the death is dealt with, and he's given the example on how to walk depending on our connection with the Father, with God, and with his word. But, you know, not just his word on a piece of paper, his word that is brought back to us by the Holy Spirit that brings us all things to remember us when we need it. See, so we had to learn to depend. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is critical for our walk. We cannot walk by faith if we don't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because otherwise, what do? We need direction. He is our GPS. He's there with us all the time. That's why, you know, the word says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's there with us all the time. We had to expect him to talk all the time. If we don't expect him to talk and we are listening to everything else because we need information, we are not going to get anywhere. See, we had to pay attention inside, not outside, to our spirit and our heart as much as being changed by the Word and the Lord. Instead of the circumstances, what everybody says, and all the news, and all the other things that are going around in the world. The world has not the same information, and often the information in the world is opposite of what God says. And when we realize that, we know pretty well the way we should go. Praise the Lord. Jesus came for us, okay, to make us free from the curse of the law. This is the things that, and it's not just to go to heaven. It's not a question of our destination. It's our life that changes when we receive him. Our essence, our center of our being changes because we have eternal life. The same life that Adam had at the beginning before he fell. Because God breathed his life unto him. And that's what brought him, make him alive. When we are born again, the same thing happened. God breathed his life in you and we get eternal life. And if we would just barely understand the impact and the meaning of that, would just is too much for our mind to grasp. It's beyond our imagination. See, Adam had dominion in the garden. He says, subdue, have dominion. That's repeated many, many times in the first two chapters of the Bible. Okay. He lost the dominion. He was under the circumstances from the moment on. He had to go and work with the sweat of his brow. He had to, you know, struggle. And, you know, he was encountering difficulties wherever he went. He was getting sick, and finally he was going to die. That wasn't completely true. He was going to die physically. But there were things remaining. Now, with Jesus, not only we have a clear demonstration that that is the case, but actually we saw somebody that was able not just to you know, die, but was also resurrected, so there is something there that was left. There is the best proof, you know, that what he was saying was the truth, because he was the first one. There was a big difference between people that were raised from the dead before, you know, and Jesus' resurrection. Nobody went there to raise him. Just he was raised because of who he was and what the Father did. Praise the Lord. But Jesus came so that we can have back the authority and the dominion on the circumstances that we are in. So that when we, by ignorance or neglect or any other reason or the impact of the things that the world does against us, you know, we are in a situation that is not a blessing, it's a curse, we can break that because we have the authority to do it. Are you following me? But, it doesn't happen automatically. People think, you know, the only thing you had to do is to believe. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says many things about belief and faith that need to be put together for the things to work. First of all, you have to know what you can do and what you cannot do And now you have to go about doing it. If you don't know that God wants to bless you, you go around and you come out with the nonsense theory of, you know, God wants you to suffer so that he's going to teach you something. That's idiocy. That's not the way it is. The word says very clearly that God can do only good things, especially in the New Testament, for us. All good things come from God. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to make you sick to teach you anything. You can get sick for different reasons. But doesn't matter what the reason is. Even if some cases could be sin, other cases it's not necessary. Okay. That is evidently some of the part of the curse of the law. Sickness and disease and suffering and pain and trouble and poverty and all these things are part of the curse of the law. Just read there and get acquainted with all the things that you should not experience if you are in God's blessing. Instead, spend more time in the things that you should be experiencing, because that's what God wants to give you. And if you don't have it, and you have the other ones, you have to do something about getting rid of that. Okay. Jesus said very clearly in John 10:10, you know, the thief does not come. You see, he comes, okay, except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that life is Zoe, which is actually the life of God. It's not just life. He wants you to have the eternal life inside him that is in him, in you. Okay. Life, okay, and that you may have it more abundantly. Okay. So, you know, this is showing really God's desire, God's will for us. You want to know, I don't know God's will. That's it. Abundant life, satisfied, deals with all your needs met in it. That's everything there. But if you're stuck, sick, have needs that are not met, you know, Jesus came to change that. And you have to start believing that, not believing that he put on you something to teach you some lessons. That's nonsense. That is wrong theology. Okay. Now, he demonstrated that in his life, in his ministry. And so we should be, you know, very clear about that. Okay. Praise the Lord. We need to really go to the place in which we believe we had to know what is ours. We had to know what God has done. We had to know how we can get it. Because that's what he wants. If he did it, it's a purpose for us to get it. Okay. And he showed, Jesus showed that throughout all his ministry on earth. Okay. Act 10:38, as God anointed, you know, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Okay. Who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Okay. Now, that's pretty clear. Didn't say we're oppressed by God. Hello? He's by the devil. Okay? So, you know, we don't need to be under there. For God was with him. He wasn't breaking all this, the good work that God was doing, trying to fix people. No. He just healed them. Okay, you know, and that was prophesied in the Old Testament by many places, especially in Isaiah. But you know, when there is, for example, in Matthew 8:16 and 17, you know, when the evening has come, they brought in many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirit with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmity and bore our sicknesses. This is really the literal translation of Isaiah 53, chapter 4 and 5. So, verse 4 and 5. So, this is really, okay, Jesus was fulfilling what God wanted to do all this time, but couldn't do it because the time wasn't ready for people to understand that the law wouldn't work. And he demonstrated, you know, he healed everybody. You know, don't tell me that everybody that Jesus healed was because they were really pious. They're just people on the street. Everywhere he went. Everybody went there and said, oh no, wait a minute, you are too much of a sinner. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Never, never Jesus said that. Okay, actually, it's evident that sometime he got people that were not that good, healed them, and then says, go and do that no more. Otherwise, worse things can happen to you. Okay, when you open to the devil, it's not God doing it. God doesn't have to do anything. You know, we and the devil, it's enough to mess up the place. Hallelujah. Okay, so but what happened is Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. And then, you know, in healing us, the way it was prophesied, but not even went farther beyond that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ are redeemed from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. So really, you know, the curse of the law was the fact that, you know, when you do the wrong thing, the thing I just finished reading before, you know, that's all the bad things that are going to happen to you. Curses are only bad things. Blessings are only good things. Praise the Lord. And he overcame our inability to be able to connect even when we make mistakes. But we had to go through what is required there. Essentially is to repent and ask for forgiveness and allow him to take over our life. That means establish a connection with him and with the Holy Spirit, okay, after takes on to our, guide us into all truth through what? Through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings us to our remembrance, the things that we need to know about the Word, and brings us also new understanding of what we need to do. Praise the Lord. And, you know, sometimes there is involved also in wanting to hear the information. Wanting direction instead of choosing to go our way. Because we can do the same thing that when we are in a place of decision making, you know, we go according to our own decision making instead of going according to his direction. And so this is why, you know, we can make the same mistakes that Adam and Eve did at the beginning. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Okay, so, the impact of the curse being taken away, of the sins being taken away, is that there's been what is called the great exchange between us and Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, that talks about, you know, all the section, the new creation. It ends with that verse. It says, for he made who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, the result is that we accept that and we are connecting with him. Then we become in right standing with God, the way Jesus was in right standing with God. And in that position, then we can be connected. We can have union with the Holy Spirit. Union, listening, being, you know, in a place in which we actually can hear. We have ear to hear and eyes to see so that we know he can be healing us. He can be fixing us. He can be guiding us. This is really so important for us to understand. See, in all the curses, don't have any power on you if you are the righteousness of God. That's the only place in which you are free from all the curses, wherever they come from. Doesn't matter. You did it, somebody else did it, whatever. Doesn't matter. You are in communion with God. Nobody can curse someone, the person that is in communion with God. Because you are one with him, who has, you know, in Christ, is one with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, going back to John chapter 17, in verse 2, Jesus praying for himself and for us afterward. Says, as you have given, directing to the Father, as you have given him to himself authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, though and there, again, you know, eternal life forever, to as many as you have given them. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So you see, that relationship, that connection, that knowing is not just a theological statement. That knowing is an experiential statement. It's a yada in Hebrew. It's really, you know, a fact of actually experiencing him in your life. So that you actually are knowing him, not knowing about him. You are connecting. You are communicating both ways. Hallelujah. This is why, you know, the new man, you know, the talks, for example, in 1 Corinthians 5, 17 and following, you know, is everyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Anyone is in Christ, a new creation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. I'm expecting him to do supernatural stuff here, because we are speaking the truth and we are breaking bondages. Hallelujah. But you know, we have a part to play. You have a part to play. And that's why I'm going to encourage you, you know, to play that part, because it doesn't happen just because Jesus did. He did it for everybody, for the whole world. He took everything. There is nothing big enough that he didn't cover and didn't overcome. Okay? He did everything, but we have to do a part. We have to participate in the process. This is what God wants from us. Okay? You know, when we have participated, you see, when we are, then we have become a new creation. Then when we are starting to live in that level and we are in union with Christ, in Christ, then all things are passed away. I mean, the old past doesn't have any power. The physical world doesn't have any power on us, because everything has become new and all things are of God inside you. And when you start experiencing that, you don't care about anything else. Hallelujah. See, everything that God does did at the beginning was perfect, was very good. Everything that God does is still perfect. See, when you are born again, he did a perfect job. You are his masterpiece. Okay. As it says, as a result of salvation. Okay. Now, you may not be too much of a masterpiece at the beginning, because there are things still that you have to deal with. Okay. At the level of your heart and soul. Because you don't know yet everything. The Holy Spirit has to talk to you. The Word has to work in you so that you agree with it. Hallelujah. All things become more and more like God, who has reconciled himself, you know, to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, in which we encourage others to do the same thing, to help people to move in that direction. God wants to break every curse of the law. Everyone. Okay. But you have to do a couple of things. One is to put your faith in the finished work of Jesus. Lots of people put faith in Jesus, but not in the finished work. They think they had to do still something instead of just only believe. And they end up working instead of receiving. See, the very moment in which you start working, your flesh is taking over. So you have to just instead only believe. Jesus said it even to the father of the epileptic boy. You know, only believe. And this is what we have to learn to do. See, then when we only believe, when we are listening, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, okay, then the John 8:31 and 32 becomes a reality. Okay, if you abide in my word and my word, you are my disciple indeed. So you are listening, you are learning from him because the word speaks to you, okay, as you hearing the word of God. Okay, and that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So hearing is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, activating it. When you suddenly see the word and speaks to you personally on your situation, you know, and you better believe it. That's the moment when it's critical to believe it, because that's the critical moment. It's the same moment that Adam had in the garden when he said, "Where are you? Did you eat from the tree?" And instead of me coming up with an excuse, said, no, I believe I received from you. I take it. You don't go by the physical, you go by the word, what the word says. You line up yourself with the word. And you line up yourself with the word, you become a disciple indeed. You're starting to be open to what is trying. And you shall know the truth. But this knowing is not just a mental thing. It's an experiential thing. You are going to see what he said to become a reality. And you shall be made free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what I'm going to do today, you know, pray for people today. There is anything in your life that is lined up with the curse of the law. You can be a believer, can be a believer many years, but you know there are things that you are stuck. We are going to believe for breakthrough as you listen to the word, as you open to the word, and you say, "Yeah, that's mine." See, there is that's your part. Your part is to believe what the word of God says, and then allow the word, put your faith in what he has done, and move on from there, expecting the word to work. And he can do it in his own way. There is not just one way, but you cannot go anymore by the physical evidences. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, that's not an easy thing to do when, you know, your senses are going to scream at you. Oh, it's not true. Why, the word of God says so, you choose to believe the word of God. And when you do that, that's what Abraham did, didn't he? That was before even the law was established. That's what we had to do. So, if you want to be prayed for, if you want, if you area, any area in your life, which you need a breakthrough, and you are willing to go through this process I've been explaining to you today. You know, that's important. You know, God can have done everything, you know, but your part is what's going to make the difference between that happening or not happening. You have to go not by the physical evidences, not by what you think, not by what everybody else says. You go by what the word of God says. And if, to the degree that you actually are determined in that way and are going to be stable and strong in it, and you are not going to be moved, we sang it this morning, you are not going to be moved, then God is going to work. So if you want prayer, I'm willing to pray for you. We are going to pray together. We are going to believe together, not according to the circumstances, but according to what the Word says. So you have to have a, you know, place in which the Word speaks about your situation and you believe it.